Julie Sook is a legal scholar and author of the new book, We the Women, the Unstoppable Mothers of the Equal Rights Amendment, and is a frequent commentator in the media on legal issues affecting women, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, Vox, and CBS News. She's currently a visiting professor at Yale Law School. In the new book, she excavates the ERA's past to find its future, explaining how the ERA can address hot-button issues such as pregnancy discrimination, sexual harassment, and unequal pay. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg played a big part in that story in history and plays a big part in Julie's book as well, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Julie Sook to the roundtable this morning. How are you? Very nice to have you on the program.
I'm fine, thank you. I'm very happy to join you today.
It's a great pleasure to have you on the program, certainly under sad circumstances. Give us an idea when it comes to your work and looking at these Mothers of the Equal Rights Amendment of where you think that Ruth Bader Ginsburg fits in.
So Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a lifelong advocate for a constitutional principle that women and men have equal rights. And in the 1970s, there was a lot of action around trying to get the Constitution Amendment through the Equal Rights Amendment. And while RBG was an advocate of that, she also knew that there were other strategies. And so she forced the courts through her advocacy to really rethink what the existing Constitution, including the 14th Amendment's guarantee of equal protection, should mean for women. And so there were pivotal changes that were made in the 1970s to the way that the Supreme Court understood the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause because of her advocacy on behalf of women to challenge the discrimination and the law's perpetuation of women's second-class citizenship.
When you look at that legacy and her overall legacy, not only in the work that you have done in looking and studying for this book, but also the judicial legacy, what do you think she leaves behind?
Well, when she became a Supreme Court justice, one of her most important opinions was the majority decision in United States versus Virginia in 1996. And there she ruled that the Equal Protection Clause prohibits sex discrimination against women and led to the conclusion that the Virginia Military Institute, which had a long tradition of excluding women from the opportunity to be educated at this premier school that led that created leaders in Virginia, that it was unconstitutional for them to continue to exclude women like that. And so in that decision, we could read that decision as transforming the Constitution so profoundly. It's like amending the Constitution without actually amending the Constitution. And I think she's responsible for that change and really deserves the status in our history books as a founding mother of the Constitution, equal in importance to the founding fathers because of the role she played in changing the Constitution and creating a living Constitution for the 21st century under which we now live.
The day before she died, which was also Constitution Day, the House voted to adopt the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act that would require employers to accommodate the needs of pregnant employees. It was bipartisan, 329 votes in favor. So you got 100 Republicans supported it. Talk a little bit about that. And as I said in the introduction of you looking at these issues of pregnancy discrimination, as well as unequal pay and sexual harassment, of how that action fits in and the importance of that act?
Well, it's actually very important to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's legacy because in the 1970s, when she was advocating for women's rights, one of the cases that she was involved in and which she talked about during her Supreme Court confirmation hearings in 1993 was a case involving a pregnant woman who lost her job. She was fired by the Air Force after she got pregnant and told that she should get an abortion if she wanted to keep her job. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg knew in the early 1970s that if that wasn't sex discrimination, she didn't know what was. And so the idea that women who become mothers and choose to become mothers or choose to bear or raise children should have opportunities to do more than that. That was foundational to her understanding of women's equal citizenship. And the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act is a statute, if passed right now, it's only been passed by the House and awaits action in the Senate. If that statute were to pass, it would require employers across the nation to accommodate the needs of pregnant workers and not fire them if they need an accommodation in order to be able to fulfill their job duties.
That is a ray of good news in a weekend that was filled with really horrible news, of course, beginning with Justice Ginsburg's passing. But then, of course, we also have to think of what happens next. We know that Justice Ginsburg's dying wish was that her replacement not be named until after the election, and it was only moments before Mitch McConnell announced that he was going to bring a vote to the floor prior to that. So where do you think we are in this fight, and is it a four? We've been going back and forth on this, Julie. I mean, I'm interested in what you think. We've been talking about it all morning. You know, is it a foregone conclusion that the Republicans are going to be able to pull this off?
Well, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, but I think that we've been living through some very strange times for the last several years. I think it was quite shocking in 2016 when Justice Scalia passed away. That the Supreme Court vacancy was held open for nearly a year, and there weren't even hearings. There wasn't even opportunity to consider President Obama's nominee at the time on the theory that it was an election year. So I think that because that happened, it really skewed the federal judiciary and certainly the Supreme Court, because what it meant was that what you would consider normal with regard to what our Constitution provides for, which is that the president appoints Supreme Court justices with the approval by the Senate, that process broke down in many respects in 2016. So I think now people are trying to figure out how best to work with those broken pieces to cobble together a constitutional system that we could all live with.
We also talked a lot this morning about the disadvantage or the unfortunate nature that because of this quote-unquote fight that we're not able to fully give our attention to the fact that, you know, we need to honor her. So having you on this morning and talking about the importance and of her legacy is really incredible. And I thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you. I really do hope that we have an opportunity to fully appreciate all the ways in which she has changed the Constitution and the importance of carrying forward that legacy in the future.
The name of the new book is We, the Women, the Unstoppable Mothers of the Equal Rights Amendment. Julie Sook, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable. Coming up next, we will talk to U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut on WAMC.